We're doing Netivot Shalom, first time this year. Netivot Shalom and Parshat Shemot. The Netivot Shalom was the Rebbe of Slonim. He passed away a few years ago. And he wrote a work on Hasidut, which is very understandable. I view it as the intro to Hasidut, because it's easy. He introduces us to important concepts in Hasidut. And we'll begin. The verse says, a new king arose over Egypt. He didn't know Yosef. So he said to his nation, these people, the sons of Israel, they are more awesome and great than us. Let's outsmart them, lest they become even greater. And then ultimately, if there'll be a war, they will turn against us, they'll fight us, they'll leave. So they placed officers who were responsible to tax them, to afflict them. And they built storage cities for Paro, the cities known as Pitom and Ramses. These verses are the beginning of the exile into Egypt. In the very beginning, where does it all begin? When there's a new king who doesn't know Yosef. So we could explain this whole idea of what was going on here in a way that will teach us with regards to our own service of Hashem. When it says a new king arose, we can understand that's alluding to the Yetzer Hara, who Shlomo HaMelech calls, the Gemara points out, he is an old, foolish king. Meaning, on the one hand, he seems to be king. You want to focus one way and your eyes go the other way. You want to think about one thing, your mind thinks about another thing. He seems to be king around here. He's around from the minute you're born, and he's a fool, because look at where he's trying to lead you. And the fact that he doesn't recognize Yosef, I don't know this Yosef person, that's already the beginning of the exile. Because where does Galut begin? When a person doesn't connect to the idea of holiness, he doesn't know Yosef. Yosef represents holiness. Yosef represents the idea that I can have control. There's temptation, it's standing right here, it's drawing me, and I could take control, I could be so holy, I have full control over what I do, what I desire, where I go. That's Yosef. When we say Yosef, Yosef represents that greatness. The Ari HaKadosh wrote, it says, Yadoa Tidai, you should know, Ki Ger Yiye Zaracha Be'eretz Lo Lahem. And the Ari HaKadosh wrote that Ger Yiye, why were the people exiled? Because of Zaracha, because they spilled their seed unnecessarily. The Mechamat Pgamim Elu Nimshachim Kol Inyanei Galut. The whole idea of our exile stemmed from that. Ve'vi Bazet Kol Inyan HaGalut Hu HaMasachim HaMavdinim HaMchitzot HaMafsikot Men Yehudi La'aviv Shebashamayim. What's this whole idea of Galut? When we're in Israel, so we're with our father. We're home. When we're in Galut, so suddenly there are boundaries. We're separated. We're distant. What happens in Galut? Galut is the idea that a person feels distant. And feeling distant means that I don't think he feels what I feel. He doesn't know where I am. One of the hardest things is when a person feels like someone who he'd like should care for him. Someone who you would want should care for you does not. Or you think could not. It's one of the hardships people go through as their parents age. Suddenly I have to be there for them and they're not there for me. That's galut. That's, I'm no longer in my dad's home. I'm fending for myself, and he doesn't even know what I'm going through. Galut is as though I've been distanced. I'm not in his home. Va'geula, so what is geula? When we speak about redemption, the inyana sheyudi shav la'argish t'ashem itbarach sho'imo tamid. Redemption is when a Jew can feel like Hashem is here and now and always. I'm never alone. והמחיצות והמסכים הגורמים שיהודי יחדל מלהרגיש קרבתו יתברך נובעים מחמת אבון זרחה רחמן הליצנן הרי הוא פגמי ברית קודש. And the things that separate us, he brings it, he expresses it very directly, but the truth is it's reflected in many things. Chazal say that's when a person spills his seed unnecessarily, and we could say it's about the short-term pleasures that a person looks for in the world. This is the repeated test we face in this world. Am I in it for the long-term or the short-term? And the greatest challenge we have in life is which one are we going to focus on? So I asked my wife to make me a steak for supper, and I come home and nothing. She says, why don't you have a sandwich? And I say, you know, I told you I didn't have breakfast or lunch. Stop. Wait a second. Short term or long term? Is there any benefit for the long term in saying that? Or it's the short term. I'm going to get out my frustration. Am I any better? Don't I make mistakes? The examples are replete throughout our day. Every day we have these choices. Am I going to go to sleep on time so I could get up on time so I could have a productive day, longer term, or short term? Am I going to answer that email right now, read that article right now, do whatever it is I shouldn't be doing, have that conversation and not go to sleep? Short term, long term. Ultimately, self-control allows us to have an awareness of Hashem in our life. When we don't have self-control, when we run after the short term, what I want now, so then we lose the feeling that Hashem's in our life. We are distant from Him, and so we feel that He is distant from us. And the greatest example of that is spilling one seed. Short term, long term. שנהיה מחיצה של ברזל בינו להשם יתברך ואינו מרגיש את המלך הגדול הקדוש ברוך הוא עומד עליו ורואה במעשיו. וזהו אשר לא ידע את יוסף, שיוסף הוא יסוד דקדושה, ומלך מצרים יסוד דקליפה. And here you have the two opposite extremes. You have Yosef, who has a master who's a eunuch. He has a master, Potiphar, who's castrated. He's one of Sarisei HaMelech. And his wife is telling him, I want you, Yosef. I'm not interested in my husband. And Potiphar's wife comes in and says, I could show you in the stars. The Messiah is going to come from me and you. Be a holy person. Come be with me. It's for good reason. She's right. Mashiach ben Yosef is going to come from her daughter in Yosef. Yosef is going to marry her daughter Asnas, her adopted daughter, but her daughter nonetheless. Yosef, long term. I'm not going for the short term. Mitzrayim is the exact opposite. Mitzrayim is all about the pleasures of here and now. They trade wives, they have women sleeping with women, they have every immoral activity you could think of is going on in Mitzrayim, because they're only focused on the here and the now. So there arises a new king in Mitzrayim who doesn't know Yosef. There arises a new movement of the here, the now. I want it now. Very good. I want the whole world. Vayomer el amo. Vayomer el amo. When I was a kid, they showed it to us in yeshiva.
Really?
My first grade teacher used to read us every day a section of the book. And at the end of the year, we saw the movie. No, in America. Vayomer el amo. Once upon a time, things were different. What?
If only the then we never lost.
ויאמר אל עמו, הנה עם בני ישראל רב ועצום ממנו. So Pharaoh tells the nation, that, you know, these Jews, they're awesome, they're bigger than us. איתה בליקוטי תורה מהגון הקדוש רב חיים ויטל. אל עמו היינו כוחות התומה. רב חיים ויטל explains, when Pharaoh says אל עמו, he is turning to the forces of defilement. הנה עם בני ישראל רב ועצום ממנו. כוח הקדושה חזק יותר מכוח התומה. And Pharaoh makes a declaration. There are two opposing forces in the world. And Pharaoh says, I'll tell you what, The force of holiness is stronger. Hava nitchakmalo, but we got outsmarted. Al yedei ve'ivnare miskanot leparot pitom et Ramses. By having them build these storage houses, pitom, which is notrikon, which stands for pitom ve'ramses, comes from the word rahimses. Romez lehimses mekom ikul ha'ochel. Hemses is the part of the animal that digests the food. ויש לומר עוד על יסוד דבריו דמרומזים כאן בית ענייני תאוות העיקריים. So we could expand the idea that he's saying, if you want to outsmart him, really he's better than us. The strengths of holiness are greater than the strengths of defilement in the world. But Paro says, let's outsmart them. And we can understand what Rav Chaim Vital said based on the idea that there are two main desires in this world. Pitehom, עניינו כמאמר כתוב לפתח חטאת רובץ וחידית בזוהר כתוב שפתח מרמז על פתח דגופה שזהו שורש כל החוטאים והוא בחינת פי תהום בו לאו. One is that aperture called פי תהום, that aperture of the body which is where ultimately that's the drive, that's what's driving a person all the time. שאומר הב הב והתהום בולע לעולם ואינו מתמלא דבתאוות אלו כל כמה שמסביעו רעב יותר. And that's, it's called like a black hole. Pitahom is like a black hole. That's the idea. We have one aperture in our body. We have one opening that drives us. The whole world is running around. They just go outside, look at every advertisement. Anything they're trying to sell, they're putting a woman on. What does she have to do with a loaf of bread? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. They're trying to sell you a car. They're trying to sell you anything. But that's the drive, that's what drives everyone. And at the end of the day, Chazal tell us that's a desire that's insatiable. There could be moments where a person feels calmer, but at the end of the day, that's why it's called pi tehom. It's like a black hole. You could fill it, put in as much as you want, it's only asking for more. So that's one type of desire that's in the world. And Chazal say about that desire, must be o ra'ev. You try to satiate it, you'll discover it's even hungrier. So that's pitahom. And Ramses is rahimses meumaz letavat ha'achila. That's an allusion to the digestive system, that's an allusion to our eating. Ukmo shel tzad ha'kdusha, kasher mitkadshim bebet inyanim eilu bekdusha ruya, harei meirim or bechol ha'inyanim. And just as when it comes to holiness, if you could sanctify these two things, if a person can eat in a holy way, if a person can be intimate in a holy way, so then it enlightens everything that comes in contact with it. Anything that's relevant to it becomes holy. And the Yisod HaAvoda, he quotes the following conversation. There was the Marshal. The Marshal was a contemporary of the Ramor, of Moshe Isserles. And he said to the Shla Kodosh, the holy Shla, before his wedding, אני מברך לך שתהיה ניזהר באילו השני דברים שעצבך. I bless you that you will be careful in the following two things that I tell you. בקדושת האכילה ובקדושת הזיווג. Being a holy person when you eat, being a holy person when you're intimate. ועל ידי זה בכל ענייניך תהל עליך אור. And through that, whatever you do, there'll be a light that shines on you. כן גם להפך חס ושלום. So there's that aspect of holiness, where a person can sanctify everything he does by sanctifying those two areas of his life. And the reverse is also true. If a person blemishes these two ideas, it affects everything he does. A guy eats like a pig, it affects him. We don't say like Aristotle. Aristotle and Stephen Hawking, you know, he's sick now. Stephen Hawking said the same thing. You guys heard of Stephen Hawking? Yeah, one of the great... So, he says the same thing as Aristotle. When you meet me in the academy, that's when I'm a giant. When you meet me at a restaurant, that's when I'm an animal. And they both eat like animals. So you'll tell me, Hawkins can't do anything, right? He could barely move. But he could communicate, right? So he, because of this philosophy, he'd treat waiters like dirt. What he could do, he did.
He's been like this for many, many, many years.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how long.
So
he's, you know, he had a bet with another philosopher over whether there are black holes or not, and the wager was over something very filthy. Whoever gets it right, because he says I'm an animal. I'm just a very intelligent animal. So that when I do animal things, I'm an animal.
Said that? By himself?
Yeah, Aristotle said the same thing. So we don't say that. We say if you could take those aspects of life which can be animal-like, but they don't have to be, if you could sanctify them, that'll shine on your whole life. And if you're an animal in those areas of your life, so that'll also affect everything. V'zo aita atzato, v'yivin arei miskenot leparo et pitom et ramses, shekol agalut matchelet mibet inyonei tavot elu. That was the idea that Paro said. Let's develop Pitom and Ramses, because the whole idea of exile, distance between us and Hashem, stems from these two desires. Pitom v'Ramses, asher ha-melech ha-chadash, this new king, ha-yetzer hara shelo yeda et Yosef, this new king, which he said is an allusion to the yetzer hara that doesn't want to recognize Yosef, mitgaber bi'ikar b'tavot elu, me'em yoneket kocho. It's specifically in these two desires that he strengthens himself. From them he saps his strength. V'imishtalet al mivtzarim elu hashilton biyadol kol ma'achot ha'adam. If these two are out of control, if he could take over these two fortresses of the human being, so then he takes control over everything. And we could add to this another concept we've discussed, that there are two openings. The Medrash says we have 10 fingers. In between the 10 fingers we have the mouth. We have 10 fingers in our feet, and in between the 10 fingers of our feet, we have the bris milah. And the Medrash equates the two. There's an upper aperture and a lower aperture, and the upper aperture has a bris of Torah, and the lower aperture has a bris milah. And the two have great potential for holiness, and the two have great potential for tumah. Kol yiridato sheyudi laolam hikidei leshaver tavot elu v'lachnisan lekdusha. You want to know why a Jew comes to the world? It's to take control over these two desires, the two apertures in his body. Kedeita benam Elimelech pashat miketzel apasuk yarod yaranu batchila lishbor ochel. The Noam Elimelech says in Parshas Miketz, the brothers tell Yosef. Remember, we go back a few parshios. The brothers are summoned into Yosef, and they tell him, "Descend. We have descended initially to buy bread, to buy food." שהוידוי שיהודי מתוודא לפני השם, באמת שירדנו לעולם הזה למען הכוונה שנשבור אוכל, דיינו תאוות הגשמיות והתענוגים ומאכלים יתרים. לשבור אוכל could mean to buy bread, לשבור אוכל could mean to break bread. And this is really the way every Jew speaks before his Creator. I've been sent down, I've descended to this world with the idea that I will break bread, so to speak, I will take control over my desire for food. ובכלל אוכל הם בית תאוות אלו אכילה כפשוטו וגם כדרשת חזל. Our sages say that when we speak about bread, when we speak about eating, so the psukim in Mishlei teach us that promiscuity is also called eating. We learned the psukim a few weeks ago that a woman who cheats on her husband, the pasuk in Mishlei says, אכילה ומחתה פיה, she eats and wipes her mouth clean, ואמרה לא פעלתי אבן. And then she says, I didn't do anything wrong. So you see from the pasuk, that's a clean way of saying it. She eats is not talking about eating. It's talking about committing adultery. Wipes her mouth is not talking about wiping her mouth. It's talking about cleaning herself elsewhere. And then she says, I didn't do anything. But it says, so in Mishlei, we already see that the idea of promiscuity is also described as eating bread. And so when we say it's a declaration on humanity that we've come down here to break bread, to take control over our desire for bread, that splits into two fronts. It's the upper aperture, our desire for eating, our desire for yummy things in the world, and also our desire for promiscuity. וכן, וגם כדרשת חז"ל על הלך מה שהוא אוכל הנאמר ביוסף, שכל ירידתו של אדם לעולם הזה היא לשבור אוכל בית ענייני תאוות אלו. Because when a person is careful enough in these two things, so then he's that encompasses everything else. So then the brothers say, when we came to the hotel, suddenly we found the money was back in our bags. So again, the Noam HaMelech explains, the brothers say we came to the hotel. That's a reference to this world. This world is like a hotel. We're only here for a short time, like a person visiting a hotel. The brothers say we opened our bags, meaning we opened our stomachs, so to speak. We found our kesef in the entrance to the bags. That's a way of saying we found our kesef comes from the word kisuf. Our desires are right there. Really, the stomach is where these two desires stem from. You have the desires that stem from the lower half of the stomach, and then the desires that stem from the upper half of the stomach. The brothers say, we brought it back in our hands. He says that's a reference to the idea of tshuva. And we brought other money to buy bread. So the Noam HaElimelech says, "Ritzono lomar shenitchazek sheyeh lanu tavot acherim, tavot v'kisufin shekedusha v'tahara." We try to develop different desires. You have a person who wakes up in the morning and he's thinking, "What's for breakfast?" You have a person that wakes up in the morning and he's thinking, I can't wait to talk to my Creator. You have a person who walks into Seder and he's thinking, what kind of coffee am I going to have? And you have a person who walks into Seder and says, how much of Shas am I going to accomplish today? For one person, if all he's thinking about is his coffee, he's fine. But we want to develop within ourselves a desire for something greater. Very often we think, so I have thoughts, but we have to know that we have a responsibility to develop desires for greatness. It's not enough that a person says, I'm keeping kosher. Where do you want to go? Where are you trying to go? Now, for one person it might be, I'm trying to be, we had a guy here a few years ago, I don't even remember who it was. I remember the Sternik. Okay, it'll come back to me. We had a guy who kept saying as he was learning here, he was a landscape artist, and he said, I'm going to build the most beautiful yeshuvim in Israel. That was his goal, to build beautiful yeshuvim. I don't remember who it was, so I don't remember if he's on his way now. Rav Lisman will remember, 2-3 years ago. Person has to have desires, he has to have aspirations for things that are big. And so part of the tshuva is that I not only shift what I do, I also shift where I want to go. Sometimes a person thinks, if I've only changed my actions, that's enough. And the truth is, that's great, it's amazing, but what am I thinking? Am I spending my days thinking, it was so good to have that. We once had a conversation like that here. We stopped the Thursday night class. I was going to get pizza. And one guy asked jokingly, are there anchovies on the pizza? So then there started a discussion between the guys. When was the last time they had pizza with anchovies? And aren't anchovies not kosher? What?
Pepperoni.
It was pepperoni. See how much I know about pizza. They were talking, pepperoni is not kosher. So they were talking about what? I don't know what anchovies are.
Very salty fish.
Ah, okay, fine. And pepperoni is
pork.
So they were talking about pepperoni. Pepperoni pizza. So one guy asked if there's going to be pepperoni in the pizza. So everyone laughed and I was going out to get the pizza, and then the guys started having a discussion. When was the last time I had pepperoni pizza? And, that's what it sounded like. Oh, I remember when. So, it struck me. You know, a lot of the guys were at a stage where they'd shifted from what they were eating, but their eyes were still looking the other way. And we have to shift our aspirations.
But isn't that in a way good? So good, but I'm not eating it because Hashem doesn't want me to.
For sure. That's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, we admire a person who says, oh, I love pepperoni pizza. I'd love to have pepperoni pizza. But Hashem told me not to, so I'm not going to have it. It's a Gemara, and that's how the Rambam explains it. Yes. But
like, he also says, like, if you think back, like, oh, good pepperoni pizza, good times, like, it's not like full chula. Also,
that's a devil, that they don't contradict one another. If you think about it, it doesn't contradict.
Like, on one hand, but what? On one hand, it's the highest thing to say, wow, I love pepperoni pizza. But
to say I love it and to look back and say I'm happy I had it are two different things. I could say it's yummy and I regret that I ate it. It's always the balance, what's really there. But the question is also, where are my thoughts? It's one thing if when you come and ask me, I say, it was yummy. I like pepperoni pizza. And I'm not doing it because Hashem told me. It's another thing if when I wake up in the morning, I tell myself, I wish I could have a bacon sandwich again. I can't. Meaning, we want to reach a point where that's not where our focus is. The fact that if you'll ask me what's yummy, I'll tell you that's yummy, I often tell the guys. You know that, right? You've heard it from me already. These guys are new, but you're probably the oldest one here, no? The most ancient one here. You are dope. I often say that if I had to make a choice, if I was born non-Jewish, and I had to choose whether I'd become a ger, I don't know what my choice would be. I don't know. There's a lot of delicious things that we don't do. So if you ask me about it, I'll also admit there are a lot of delicious things that I can't do. But we're talking about, what am I thinking about when I wake up in the morning? Do I wake up in the morning and I think, I wish I could? Or do I wake up in the morning and I say, oh, I want to grow, I want to reach new spiritual heights? And Kesef Acher, Horadnu Biyadeinu, the Noam Elimelech says, is the idea that we have to bring within ourselves a new desire. We have to have new aspirations. Aspirations of holiness, aspirations of purity. Lishbor ochel, haynu shezo yaderech lishbor bet tavot elu amchunot ochel, al yidei sheyashkei et kol hakisufim vatanugim bekdusha. How do you conquer these two desires? So we said the two prime desires we contend with in this world are desires for promiscuity and food. Those are the two areas where a person has to contend. And I guess food would also encompass money and honor. He says if you develop desires in the realm of holiness. Our sages said that our soul comes from a world of pleasures. And so our soul is always desiring pleasures. Our soul likes to have a good time, but our soul is looking for a good time on a different level. We don't come down to this world as masochists. Normal people are not. Normal people want to have a good time, but the soul knows what a really good time is. And so every time you try to give it something else, it's a little disappointed or a lot disappointed. But if a person doesn't grow in the direction of spiritual greatness, and then his soul starts looking for other venues, where am I going to have a great time? So one of the things we want to develop is spiritual heights. Now, I want to take this on a tangent for a minute. People sometimes tell me, I don't like davening at the machon. Okay. Now, I'm not, I like some of the davening at the Machon, and then there are other davenings which I prefer somewhere else. But I think it's important you find shuls that move you. When we speak about having spiritual aspirations, part of that is tefillah. Part of that is having a davening that moves you. Going to davening Friday night and feeling uplifted at the end of davening. Going to davening Shabbos morning, Rosh Chodesh morning, and having a tefillah that moves you. I also have a hard time davening here. I have a hard time because I feel like everyone's looking at me. Not everyone, but some people.
Of course, jealous.
Not an issue of jealous. It's an issue that if I'm here in a position, so then it's a little hard to be myself. Mm-hmm. I want to talk to God, me, and I want to talk to my Creator. I don't want to have to think what other people are thinking. Is my Shemona Esrei fast or slow or what? It's one of the hard things when I daven in Kochav Yaakov too. So fine, if this isn't the place, so find somewhere else. I used to have once a week, twice a week, that I'd go to Hasidic shul and daven shachris there. No one knew me there. They all yell in their davening. So I'm in my own world, and there's excitement there. You feel it in the air. Part of it is that when you come to davening at 9 o'clock in the morning, you have a little bit more energy than at 6:30. I didn't go to the 9 o'clock minyan. I'm joking, but it doesn't matter. It moved me. And at different times in my life, I found different minyanim that moved me. It wasn't a constant. Nowadays, I still go to Hasidic minyan a lot of the week. A large part of the week, the last few weeks, I've been going to Hasidic minyan. I felt my davening needs a boost. So sometimes you got to find the places that'll move you. And I know some of you are bound to the schedule. I don't know how this works, so I'm not coming to be heretical here at the Mechon Meir. If you're bound to the schedule and you have to daven here most of the week, so find the times you don't have to daven here. And find the mincha, find the ma'ariv, find the way out. You got to be able to make it work within the system. I'm not saying to break the system. Find ways to make it work. And I hope that most of you are happy with the davening here, because the davening here is very special.
Oh, yes, I love it.
Oh, so one person likes it. Okay, good. A lot of people say they haven't found the davening like the Mechon, that when they leave, they can't have kavana.
It's not like yalla, 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 yalla.
I'm with you. I have a personal problem. It's not about the davening of the Mechon, it's about the fact that people know me here. At any rate, a person has to aspire. And where we aspire affects everything. So he said, one of the goals in life is to have aspirations of holiness and purity. And once you have such aspirations, so then you're already overcoming the more base desires. And one of the ways that works is that a person thinks to himself, if I want to get there, then I shouldn't be here. I can't allow myself to do this. I want to get there. What am I dealing with these shtuyot for? How come I'm letting my thoughts wander to these places? How come? I'm trying to get there. I'm busy now. Don't bother me. And we'll end. I'll tell you a mashal. I was once, true story. It was late at night, the Lower East Side. I was headed to Yeshiva for night seder. The streets were pretty bare. It might have been a Sunday night. And I was about a block and a half from the Yeshiva. So I'm walking through Chinatown. And I used to carry a little suitcase with all my notes in it. I had boxes with notes, and I used to work with notes as I was learning. So I'm carrying the box on wheels with the handle, and I'm walking. And there was a public library that was closed already. I walked by the public library, and standing behind the wall was a mugger waiting for me. I didn't see him. My thoughts were in the sugya I was going to start when I was getting to yeshivas. My thoughts weren't even there. I'm walking, and the guy walks out from the shadows with a knife under his jacket and tries to grab my bag. But I didn't see him. So I kept walking and knocked him over.
Now you're like, whoops, are you okay?
And he's right. That's exactly what happened. I'm like 5 steps forward, and I threw him to the side by mistake. I didn't see him. What? I was walking quickly. He thought I'd see him and stop. By the time he got the words out of his mouth, stop and give me the bag, he was already knocked against the wall, and I was there. He walked into my path. I didn't notice him. I was walking quickly. I was headed to yeshiva. My mind was in yeshiva. My mind wasn't on what was going on around me. So I'm walking. He tries to step in my path. I knocked him that way. I'm already 4 steps ahead of him, and I'm with my bag. I'm walking, and suddenly I realize, hey, I just knocked someone over. So like Guru said, I turned around and said, I'm sorry. And he didn't know what to do with himself. Like, now I'm already ahead of him. You know, he can't do anything to me. He's like, he had meant to stop me. So he looked at me, and I looked at him. And he shrugged, and I shrugged, and I smiled, and kept walking. But what do I mean? So, to me, that became the mashal in my life. If I'm focused forward, then even if someone tries to walk in front of me and stop me, so then he gets blown over, and by the time I realize he's blown over, I'm still moving forward. In life, you got to try to focus forward. If a person is focused on becoming a great person in spirituality, in holiness. So then the smaller things that can really keep him busy, suddenly they fall by the wayside. But if I'm not focused on growing, so suddenly my mind is very busy with the little things. I'm thinking a lot about the little desires, like what am I going to have for lunch, and when's the next time I'm going to be able to go out, and my life starts revolving around little mundane things. So I think that's a practical application of what we've learned so far, and we'll continue Bizlachim tomorrow night.